This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.
Hey, we want to start today. I'm going to start a whole new series. If you've been with us for a while, we've been in this series for a long time and probably could go forever, but we're going to start a whole new series today over the next 4 weeks, and we're going to look at one book of the Bible, and it is an amazing New Testament book, and we're going to dive in together for the next few weeks on the book of Colossians. And we're going to look together, this New Testament amazing book, and studying Colossians, looking at it's a New Testament book, and what you need to know and our hope through this series. And I want to remind you this truth and this reality today that God's word is not ancient, that God's word is living and active and applicable to your lives today. And you need to know that, and I want to prove that through this series to you, that you could see that God's word is for you. And so whenever time we at CLC go into a new book of the Bible, we're going to dissect it and pull it apart. I always like to ask three questions. And I'm going to give you those questions in just a moment. But the first thing you need to know about this book, Colossians, that we're going to look at is that this is actually a book that it was written as a letter to a church. And I want you to see how this launches off in the very beginning, because the first answer to the question that I always ask is found right in the very beginning. So here we go. Colossians chapter 1, the very first verse, it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. And then he says in verse 3, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard, get this, of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all of God's people. So three questions I like to ask anytime I go into a new book of the Bible that helps you to know who's behind it, what's the context of it. And the first question gets answered right there in the beginning. Who's the author? Like, who wrote this book? Who wrote this letter? And it was this guy by the name of Paul, the Apostle Paul. And maybe you've heard about him. If you've been around church culture, I'm sure you've heard about Paul. But Paul is significant in this passage because he's writing to this church, but he's not just writing it at one random place. He's actually writing this letter from prison. And Paul was a man who was highly educated. He was very zealous, but initially he was zealous for the wrong things. And for the wrong cause. Now, I love people, and some of you are those people in the room who find Jesus, you get saved, and then you're just amazingly changed. But they were initially really, really into the world. Maybe you're that person. And then you really, really got into God. And you were extreme one way, and then now you went extreme the other way. And that's Paul. Like, Paul is extreme initially in his life. He was that guy who highly educated but hated Christians, persecuted them, killed Christians. And then he has this moment with God on this road going to a city called Damascus, and where God just shows up, Jesus appears to him, shakes up his life. And from that moment on, Paul goes all in for Jesus, and he ends up changing the world. And I think it just for you this morning, it should bring all of us hope that God can use you with all of your deficiencies. God can use you with all your baggage. Check this one out. God can use you with all your issues, right? He can use you with all your stuff. And Paul's story is hope for all of us, that none of you are too far gone. None of you are too bad or have too bad of a past. None of you are too young or too old or too busy. God can use your life. And so that should bring encouragement to us today. So Paul is this man. He's submitted to God. And now he's a leader in the early church. He's part of the founding of the first churches. And he's writing letters to churches. And he's writing some of those letters in prison. And this particular letter, he's writing to an audience in a church, and this is the second question we ask, who's the audience? He's writing to an audience in a church in Colossae. Now, let me give you a little background on this church. The church is actually in this city called Colossae, which is in modern-day Turkey today. But Paul had not actually ever visited this church. Most of all the letters that Paul wrote to these churches were churches that he's actually visited, churches that he actually started. But this one, he didn't. He didn't start this church. He's never visited this church. Many people believe that there was this guy named Epaphras who was a disciple of Paul and went and started this church in Colossae. And he comes back to Paul at this time and he says, hey, we've got this church going. We've seen great things happening. All these things are going on. But right now, this church that we started, they've got some issues. They've got some problems. So Paul is writing to them. And I want you to see this on the map. Paul's writing to this while he's in prison in Rome. And Colossae is all the way across this area. So he's in Rome and Colossae is all the way this area. And so Colossae, this church is about 1,000 miles from where Paul is. And he's writing to them 1,000 miles away in prison to challenge them. And this is why we call a lot of these smaller letters in the New Testament the prison epistles. It's the reason why is because they're letters written by Paul while he was in prison. And so let me just say that to you. How about making the most of every season you're in? Right? Like Paul's like, hey, I'm in prison. I got some extra time on my hands. I'm in some prison. I can make the most of this. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll write some letters that will change the world. Think about making the most of whatever season you find yourself in. And the reason he writes these letters is very significant. He wants to get them back because the purpose of this entire book, and it's the third question we always ask ourselves, what is the purpose of the book of Colossians? The whole entire purpose of this book is this. It's a refocus on Jesus. It's a refocus on Jesus. And it's what's happening, thank God, in our world today in 2025. There's a refocus on Jesus happening in our world today. And so here's the background of why this church started with such good focus. They started, man, they were off and running, doing well. And Paul actually starts this letter to get to what they were doing well. And you heard of me when I read it to you in the very beginning. He says to them, we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. And church, you're doing some really good things and you're treating people well and you're doing some amazing things. But then Paul, he tells them the good thing, but then he brings a little correction to the story. He starts to bring maybe what we call today the sandwich method of correction. Anybody know about the sandwich method of correction, right? It's where you celebrate somebody and then you throw in some correction and then you celebrate them again at the end, right? For all my those parents out there, my gentle parenters, right? I don't do that with my kids. I just be like, you're a bonehead, all right? Stop it. I love you, okay? But this is the sandwich correction. So examples like you could say to someone, hey, I love the way you look today, but I didn't like what you said there. But you're the best. Really appreciate you. Like, you bring so much energy to the room. I love it. But maybe you could dial that back just a little bit. It's a little off extreme. But we love the energy that you bring to the room, right? I just love you. You're so special. You're beautiful. Great. Like, hey, honey, to your kids, I love that you love your toys. I love that you love to play with them. But you better share next time or I'm giving them to Goodwill, all right? But you look so pretty. I love you. Daddy loves you. Yeah, great, huh? Or like it's the sandwich method. Like you might say to your spouse, right? Sleeping next to you is the best. I just love sleeping next to you. Stop hogging the blankets, all right? But you're worth freezing for, you know what I mean? You're worth freezing for. I love you. And this is what Paul does in our letter, right? He starts out with this encouragement. I've seen your faith, how you're treating other people and how you love others, but you've drifted from it. You've drifted from it. The whole passage, the whole book is to bring the focus right back on Jesus. And this is why today, what I want to talk about as we jump off into this book of Colossians is the whole theme and the whole thing you need to know is this. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. If there's a central theme of Colossians, it's that it's all about Jesus. And hear me, I would just say to you, dude, there should be a central theme to your life as well. And it should be that your life is all about Jesus. The church in Colossae made a critical mistake that so many of us Christians, we do the same thing, right? It's that they start with this focus on Jesus, but then they're like, well, hey, we could also mix in a little bit of the world and still have our Jesus. And we all do it. And in their culture, they mixed in Gnosticism, and they took all these other beliefs of the culture and that were rampant at the times. They brought in legalism into the church, and they were all about their culture, bringing in some of the culture and some of the politics and making that a part of their church. And they thought it was okay to have Jesus in all this other stuff. How many know we do the same thing? Maybe you've heard the phrase before, oil and water don't mix. And this is what they're exactly what they're doing. They have Jesus. He wants to give them everything, but they're like, wait a minute, but what if we just add some other things to our faith? And guess what happens? It doesn't mix. But you know what? Hey, we still have Jesus. He's still good, and we're still going to church with all those things, but why not just add some other things to our lives? Why not have these relationships, and why not have these friendships, and why not have these belief systems? If we put them all together, won't they just mix perfectly? And they did everything. They even tried to go, let's just keep mixing it and keep mixing it. We'll just keep driving Colossians, and guess what happens? It's still never mixed. And as much as you try today to take all of your stuff and still have your Jesus and mix it all together, it will never combine together. You can't have both. It's always, always going to separate, because here's the reality. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And this is what they were doing in their culture. And I just want to encourage you. They thought that it was okay to have Jesus and have all the other stuff. But we need to be very careful that you don't mix your life with Jesus plus all these other things and try to mix it all together and see what happens and think that it's okay and still say to us, well, I'm still a follower of Jesus even though I have all these other mixtures in my life. And we have got to get back to the fact that our lives are supposed to be about one thing, which is all about Jesus. Even what we do as a church is about Jesus, right? Have you ever had that? Like, you ever seen someone who's, maybe you're that person where you brought them to church, or you're that person, you walked into church, maybe it's today, and you have no church background whatsoever, and you walk in there and you're like, you're trying to explain everything to them. This is why they do what they do, and this is why we do this, and this is why we do that. And none of it makes sense because it's not all about Jesus. So like, you know, you walk in and you're like, your friend or somebody's like, why is everybody being so happy to see me? Why is everybody so nice to me? Like, these people are really overly excited. What do they want from me? Like, man, you just don't know because it's not about Jesus. They get into a worship service, right? And why are people clapping? Like, why are they, that dude's raising his hand, he's waving at me. Why is he waving at me? You know, why are people closing their eyes? Like, this is weird. That guy up there speaking, where's his robe? You know? Like, this is weird to me. And none of it makes sense because it's not focused on Jesus. And if Jesus isn't the central part of the whole thing, can I just say this to you? Then why do we do all this? Like, why have church? Why have this building? Why you get up and come here? Why open the doors? Why pay electric bill if it's not all about Jesus? If it's not about him, then why do we do this in the first thing? And what I thought would be crucial to do as we look at this series is to bring our focus right back to who Jesus is. The focus on Jesus' role in your life. And let us not be like that church in Colossae that they started well. They were doing things great. Everything was perfect. But somewhere along the way, they got deviated. Somewhere along the way, they got deviated from who Jesus is because of what this culture can mix into our faith and what it could add to us. For us to say, well, church should be about politics, and church should be about me, and church should be about, and Christ should be about ourselves and our preferences, and Jesus should be about my feelings and my needs, and all these other things that we want to add to it. But you and I, hopefully we can stand up and say, no, no, no. This faith was founded by him and should be built on him. That's what it's about. It's about him. It's all about him. And our life will not make sense. Your life will not make sense until it's all about Jesus. You with me this morning? So Paul writes this beautiful passage of scripture, and in a minute we're going to dive into it for a second, starting at verse 15 in just a moment. But he writes this few verses here, and it's this, and throughout church history, these first few verses, starting from verse 15 in chapter 1 and a few after that, throughout church history, it's been labeled and called Christ's hymn. Those few verses, they call it Christ's hymn, or like Christ's song. And many believe that this passage either was there, either because it was a worship song in the first century church. Or Paul wrote that it was actually written, it was a worship song that was being sung before this was even written. And Paul knew about this was a worship song being sung in the church. So I'm going to include this in the letter so that hopefully it'll resonate and it'll bring the focus back on Jesus is. And you're going to see it here in just a moment. But there's like seven crucial things about who Jesus is starting in verse 15 and following. Now, I don't have time for seven, so I'm going to give you three, okay? So Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Look at this. Christ's hymn. The Son is the image of the invisible God. So when you see Jesus, he's saying, you see God. He says, the firstborn over all creation. Verse 16, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. Verse 17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. Let me just tell you this morning. Jesus is the one that is in charge of this whole thing. It's all about him. He's in charge of this thing called church. It's not about me. It's not about leadership. It's always about him, and it's always for him. He goes on to write, he is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. What Paul's doing in this passage is he's making it very clear that Jesus is the star of what this whole thing's about. Not you, not me. Jesus is the celebrity. And if you're going to build your life on anything, if you're going to build your life on something, Paul's telling you, you need to build it on Jesus. In fact, the Hebrews writer wrote it this way, fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of your faith. Let's just be honest, right? Just like the church, we all have moments where our eyes get deviated off of what it's all about. We all have those moments where our eyes don't stay fixed on Christ and they immediately go to all these other things. So here's my question for you this morning to reflect on. Here's the question I want all of us to reflect on this morning. What is taking your focus off Jesus? What is it today that's taking your focus off Jesus? Here's a couple things to consider. I'll just give you some help here. Some things, a couple things you can consider to think about. Maybe it's busyness. Maybe busyness is taking your focus off Jesus. Maybe you've gotten distracted. Maybe you've gotten a lot of things going on with your family or your business or your job, and Jesus has taken a back seat to your life. Busyness can take your focus off Jesus. Maybe for you today, maybe it's worldliness. If you don't know it or not, this world is enticing. We have things enticing us like money, stuff, fame, personal enjoyment, things that we want. We want to be liked. We want to be considered in. We want to feel a part of everything that's happening. And all these things will lure us away from a focus on Jesus. Maybe it's pride. There's this subtle idea that pride comes in with this idea that you and I could do life without God. Like, who really needs God? Like, we've built a life, we've built a little bit of success, a little bit of independence, and you start to think, look what I did. Look what I've accomplished. And pride comes in and pulls your focus away from Jesus and on yourself. Maybe it's doubt. There's this lie that comes and wants to tell us to question who God is. There's this lie that wants to come in and tell you, is God really real? Can God really do what he says he can do? Where is God in my tough seasons? God wouldn't do this. And we start to reason, God wouldn't do that. And we start to doubt and it drums us and it pulls us away and it draws us away from keeping our eyes on him. Maybe for some of you, it's religion. This idea of religion is this idea of ceremonies and rituals. It can even be serving. It can be a distraction where you get this idea that you're starting to do things for God out of duty and not out of delight. So we don't put the focus on Jesus. We put the focus on everything else that's behind it all. Maybe it's your relationships. I have family obligations, Pastor. Maybe it's a friend or a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And you know what? Distractions and less focus can even be healthy relationships. Like all these things become our primary focus. It's the most important thing to us. And we end up prioritizing our relationships over our relationship with God. And it happens to all of us. Or finally, maybe a distraction for you is simply ambition. The drive to conquer the next hill. The drive to, maybe if you're in here and you have kids, maybe your drive is to see your kids succeed in the world, but not so much in faith. Well, we just got to make sure that they have everything they need. They got to make sure that they're in. And so the faith takes a back seat. There's a drive to have your opinion heard or to have your opinion adopted. There's a drive for more and more and more, and I just need more. And we make life about the next thing instead of about who Jesus is. And this is what Paul is challenging us today. He challenged the church 2,000 years ago saying, you've got to stop making this about all these other things. And you've got to reorient your life to make it all about Jesus. And so we look at this passage, and I want to give you three main takeaways this morning. Like what will you do? Like, how can we help you? How can we help you keep your eyes and life focused on Jesus? Again, I want to bring your attention to where he says here in the beginning, he says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And he says, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. And then I want you to look what he says here. All things have been created through him and for him. Here's the first thing. If you want to keep it all about Jesus, you want to keep your focus all about him, here's what you got to do first. You have to recognize Jesus as creator. You got to recognize Jesus as creator. He's the creator. He started it all in your life. He's the one who originated everything we see. It all started with him. He's the original OG. You know what I'm saying? It's all about him. And the passage says it's not just about him, it's for him. It's for him. Like, think of the world we live in today. Think about the area we live in today in Montana. I want you just to think about this whole area that we live in today in our thing, the beauty and the awe of where we live at today. I don't know why our slides are not keeping up. Come on. There we go. Come on. And anyway, this is me hunting this week. Coming down the mountain, out of breath, gonna die, all right? And I took a moment and I'm like, look at this place. The awe of it all. I don't know if you ever have moments like that, just where we live alone, just the state that we live in, where you're ever like in these moments of like awe, the mountains and the tree. And hopefully you're like me. And at that moment, I'm looking at, I can't believe that God created all this. It's unbelievable. It's unreal to think of all the universe and all of it, how it all works together. And our passage says all of it started by him. He is the creator of it all. Paul even backs it up in Romans where he says from him and through him and for him are all things. Everything in this planet is all for him. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let me say it this way just so you can grasp. He didn't just create the world, he created your world. He created your world. He created your life. He started all the things going on in your life right now, hear me, whether good or bad. But anything good you see in your life right now originated because our God is good, and he set these things in motion, right? Can I just encourage us this morning and right here on November 2nd, like, don't give yourself too much credit. Like, don't puff yourself up too much. Like, I just want to encourage you with that. No, we make our lives about Jesus. And he is able, and when we do that, we're able to see his goodness. And we're able to see that he created this whole thing. And we're able to go, oh, everything I have is only a byproduct of the grace and the power of God in my life. The fact that he's the creator, and as a creator, he is still creating great things for you and in our world today. A few years ago, I served on a university board by nature of my position, and I was invited to this special dinner that they had at the school, and there were some major important people that were at this dinner. The owners of Hobby Lobby were at this dinner. The sitting attorney general of the United States was at this dinner. The governor was at this dinner. I mean, it was a room full of powerful people, and I was invited to be there. And honestly, I was a little nervous. But let me just say this. Could you imagine if I walked into the room that night and loudly proclaimed, y'all are all lucky that I'm here today. Can you imagine if I walked in the room and say, y'all can all eat now, I'm here, right? I've shown up, you know, I'm special, look at me. Could you imagine that? That would be crazy. Why? Why would that be crazy? Because I'm not the one who put myself in that room in the first place. Put that perspective on your life. Anytime you're in a season where you're like, man, this is crazy. I don't know how I've arrived here. I don't know how my marriage has blessed me so much. God has blessed me so much. How did I get these wonderful kids? Like maybe some of you in the room are sitting here going, I shouldn't be alive today. I can't believe I'm still alive. I don't know how that bill got paid. I don't know where that provision came from. And it's up for you and I to recognize, you add the perspective to your life and you recognize you are not the one who put you in that room. You are only there because God originated it by his goodness, by his grace, and by his power. He is the starter of what's happening in your life. And we should be careful to always give him the praise for whatever it is he's done. Like, let's put it back on him. This is significant in your lives because if you think you started it, guess what? You start to take the credit. Look at me. Look what I did. And you start to own it like this is all me. And you get this false hope in the fact that you think you are ordaining your steps. Man, I hope to bring this news to you this morning. Whatever you may think in this room and wherever you sit at with faith, I just want to encourage you, you aren't ordaining your steps. You aren't ordaining your steps. Our job is to only be submitted to the God of the universe, saying, God, if you want to start something new, fresh in my life, I will let you start it. God, if you want to bless my life, then I'm going to give you all the credit and all the praise for it. God, if you want to end something in my life, I know that you have something better for me down the road. I'm totally submitted to him as the creator. He is the one working all things together for your good. God is our creator. And you might say to me, you know, your statement could be so, well, Pastor, you don't understand. He might have created me, but I don't have the value that other people have. God might have created me, but I don't have the worth that other people have. Let me just tell you, say it to you this way. You need to stop doubting your value because you don't get to determine it. You don't get to determine your value. Neither does your ex. Neither does your issues. Neither does your world. Neither does your employer or anybody else, because you can't create value because you didn't create yourself. You can't create value because you didn't create yourself. Our value is determined by what our creator says it's worth. I wrote it down this way if you're taking notes. Our value is determined by who our creator says we are and the price he paid for us. That's your value. This is where value is found. What does the creator say it's worth, and what are they willing to pay for it? That's how you determine worth. And whenever you doubt your worth, whenever you doubt your value, all you got to do is grab your word and say, what does God say about me? And to lean on the fact that God says you are a masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he prepared in advance for you to do. You just need to stand on the word and say, God says that he formed you in your mother's womb. He says that you're not an accident. He says that you have purpose in your life. He says that he has a calling on your life. And you should always, always, always go with what God says about you. You should always go with what God says about you. It doesn't matter who other people say you are. Let me tell you what God says you're worth. Hear me this morning. He says this morning, that you are worth his only son. Being nailed to the cross for your salvation, for your healing, for your freedom, so that you can know God. And so whenever you doubt your worth, you got to remember what God paid for you. And what did he pay for you? He gave his only son for you so that you can have a relationship with him. Let me tell you something. You're worth a lot. You're worth a lot. So we have these moments where we understand exactly that we are created by God, that he is our creator. Because of that, everything in this life that we're going to say, God, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you praise for everything that happens in my life because you are my creator. You've started the whole thing. And look what Colossians goes on and says. It says this. Paul writes, he is before all things, and in him all things are what? Held together. I love this passage, right? All things are held together. Here's your second one this morning. If you're looking, if you want to keep a focus on Jesus, if you want to have a Jesus-focused life, then you have to do this. You have to rely on Jesus as your sustainer. We have to learn the fact that Jesus starts the work in our lives, right? But he also sustains the work in your lives. And Paul had to correct this church to say, oh, you've started in faith. Man, you've done some good things. You could be happy with where you are, but somewhere along the way, you've deviated from all the good things that you start in your life. You've gone to mysticism. You've gone to adopting the culture around you. You're practicing legalism, and you've gone to doing, you've gone from doing what is right in your own eyes instead of what God is calling you to do. And it's just bringing them back to say, listen, Jesus is the one who sustains everything in life, right? Think about the earth today, church. Think about the earth itself. The earth itself is actually sustained by God. Everything we have going on around us right now is held into place by him. You want me to prove it? I was looking at this thing called the habitable zone. It's true, right? Our earth is in this area called the habitable zone. Some people call it the Goldilocks zone. The Goldilocks zone. And the Goldilocks zone is where it's not too cold and it's not too hot. It's just right. Right? The Goldilocks zone. It's just right. And when you research this, it's unbelievable how perfect it is for life in just this one zone. Because if it was just 1% off, the world would not be, life would not be able to inhabit the planet. In other words, a little bit close, they say 1% off. If it's just 1%, a little bit closer to the sun, we would burn up. A little bit farther away, we would all freeze. If the earth was tilted, it was not tilted the way that it's tilted, we wouldn't have the seasons that we have now that help us sustain life as we know it today. And God is the one holding all this together in one place. And let me just say it very clearly this morning, in case you're wondering. I'll say this very clear. This is not an accident. This is not circumstantial. It's only by the power and the grace of God. The details and the placement and creation of our world, it screams that our God is a divine creator who's positioned the earth perfectly to create life, defying all the odds that are out there, pointing to a creator that is in charge, who is actively involved in our world today and sustaining your life and my life all around us. Scientists tell us that the earth is spinning at 1,000 miles per hour. It's like the best picture you could give is if you ever put a basketball on your finger and you just started spinning it around. That's what God is doing today. He's spinning things around. And one day it's all going to stop, right? And we're going to get a new heaven and we're going to get a new earth. But until then, every day you wake up, guess what? The earth spun around again. And God sustained it. And God sustained you. He made it happen another day. Thanks be to God who sustains all things in our lives, right? And you know how what's crazier than the fact that he sustains the universe? Like, that's crazy enough that God sustains the universe. But here's even crazier. The crazier fact is that he sustains your life. He sustains your life. Not only does God hold our world together, but guess what? He holds your world together. So everything in your world that is being held together that you think could fall apart at any moment is being held together by the grace and the power of God, by the hand of God. He is the sustainer. And you know what's kept your family together for all these years? The sustaining power of God. You know what's kept you in those seasons where you just like, I would want to just give up on faith altogether? You know what's kept you together? The sustaining power of God. You know what's kept you going when the things of God in your life and you're like, why is God seem present and God seems absent? It's the sustaining power of God. You know what's provided for you when you didn't know where it would come from? The sustaining power of God. The Hebrews writer even says that the Son, talking about Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. And look what it says, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Any time in your life where things seem to be falling apart, can you hear me? It might be the fact that the sustaining power of God has been removed from that scenario. Let me say it this way. Anything that you want to see held together in your life, you need to make sure Jesus is involved in it. If you want to see it last. So if it's falling apart in your life, it may be falling apart because you've pushed Jesus out. You've pushed Jesus out. And when you push Jesus out, the sustaining power of God goes with him. Right? The marriage, hear me this morning, can't sustain when Jesus isn't in the middle of it. Your relationships, they can't sustain when Jesus isn't in the middle of it. The purpose and destiny that God has on your life, like it can't sustain it when you don't make it all about who Jesus is. The behaviors and actions that you want to change, you can't sustain them when Jesus is not brought in to be part of it. Your joy cannot sustain. It cannot be held together when you make your life about all these other things instead of about who Jesus is. Let me give you one more. The peace, your peace, will not be sustained. If you're lacking peace in your mind this morning, if you're lacking peace in your life, it may be for the fact that you have pushed Jesus out of the equation. And he's the one that sustains it all in our lives, church. Even if it shouldn't be sustained, he can still hold it all together. I love it, man. He's like the glue, right, that holds your life together, that holds your purposes together, that holds your relationships. He holds it all together. And you know what? He's not cheap glue. He ain't that Elmer stuff, right? When you're like, man, I wonder if this thing's going to hold together. He's like Gorilla Glue. Come on, somebody, right? He's like, you can trust that. That's the kind of God he is. And when Jesus is in the middle of it, there's no enemy that can separate you from him. He sustains it. Someone would say to me, someone might say to you, well, how did you get through that grief? Man, that is tragic. How did you walk through? How did you make it through all of that? And you can simply look at them because you put the focus on Jesus and say, you know what? Jesus brought me through it. Jesus was with me because Jesus sustains us even when it doesn't make sense. I wrote it down this way. If you're taking notes, if you're not taking notes, you need to get this because this is so true and I love it. Here's the ready for this. What's over your head is still under God's feet. What's over your head is still under God's feet. You might think it's overwhelming to you. The good thing is you have a sustainer in your life. The good thing is you have someone who's holding it all together for you. And you might say to me this morning, well, you don't understand what's against me, Pastor. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what's against me in my life. And I would look back at you and say, you're right, I don't, but I know who's for you. I know who's for you. And that one person that is for you can sustain you through the most toughest times in your life. And so, church, when you feel overwhelmed and when you feel like things are too much, you can just simply look to the sustainer like Psalms reminds us and says, cast all your cares on the Lord. And he will sustain you. He will sustain you. When we give up control to God, he sustains us. He sustains us with what we could never have been able to control on our own. When you release control, you actually secure God's in control of life. When you release control, it's like you and I showing God and telling God, I trust you. I trust your sustaining power in my life because he is our sustainer. He gives us this last passage, and he says this in Colossians 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning of the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. So to keep it all about Jesus, what do we got to do, man? We got to recognize Jesus the creator. You got to rely on Jesus as your sustainer. But get this morning, if we're going to keep the focus on Jesus, then you got to revere Jesus as supreme. You got to revere him as supreme. You put him as the supreme person in your life. There's so many things vying for your attention. I call it noise. There's a lot of noise in your life. And which one of those noise will become supreme? By the way, Paul wrote this to the church, but we also know that the Bible, the whole Bible, was inspired by the Spirit of God. That God inspired him to write this, and that this scripture, like all the Bible, has been handed down from generation to generation into generation. Why? Because every generation and every Christian has the same problem. Where we start thinking our things are our source. We start thinking all these other things are the things that are going to fill the voids in my life. And all these other things will sustain me. And all these other things begin to become greater and greater and greater and greater. And Paul's correction to the church in Colossae is the same correction for us today. He says, you know what? Put Jesus as supreme in your life. Make him number one. In fact, this word that he used here, supremacy, the Greek word there is actually a verb. And it simply just means this. There's nothing else to overlook it. It just simply means to be first or to have preeminence. Jesus is to be first. He is to have preeminence in your life. It meaning, you know what? You've got to put him above all the other things. He's the thing that holds it all together. Let me show you an example of this today. For example, thank you. We have all these things in our life that we think hold it all together. And we just have all these things, and it's like this big wheel. And if we just keep all these things together, and what I have found out is, what is the thing that holds your life together? Maybe these are just a few examples. Maybe it's your children, your finances, your friendships, your career, your entertainment. All these things. We could add health on there. We could add all these things. What holds your life together? And many times, what's driving you is what holds it all together. So maybe today, what drives you is your children. They're the center of your life. If only my kids are happy, then everything else will fall into place. So you make everything about your kids, about their success. They're everything to me. Are you happy? Do you feel important? Right? And you make it all about him. Can I just tell you this morning to be very careful? Be very, very careful. Because your kids aren't strong enough to hold it all together. Maybe you're in here today and you're like, well, you know what? My friendships, they're the things that hold it all together. Because you know what? My friends get me. My friends love me. They support me. They accept me for me. And so if I just make them the center, then everything else will fall in place. Can I encourage you this morning? Your friends aren't strong enough to hold it all together. Probably one that resonates with us all in the room today is, man, our career. That's what's most important. Because it's the career, it's the job, that's what's going to hold it all together. This is what's going to sustain our lives. The money, it's what brings the money in. It's what allows me to have my stuff. It's what allows me to have my entertainment. It's what keeps my spouse happy. It's all these things. If I just have a really good career and I make that the focus, then everything else will fall into place. And I can tell you this morning, when Paul writes this to the church of Colossae that he's writing to us today, he was telling that if you really want to know what holds all of your life together, Jesus. He's the one that holds it all together. When you revere him as supreme, when you see him as your creator, when you know that he's the one that sustains your life, and you put him at the center, when Jesus is in charge, what happens then is now you and I, he is the one that we are relying on to make all these other things in life work and come together. And let me tell you what the church in Colossae did, that we also do today. This is what they were doing. They're like, hey, well, you know what? Let's just say, like, my finances, you know, man, like I made the finances the center of my life. And this is what we do in church today, church. Some of you do this. We're like, well, the finances, that's what's most important to me. The money. But when this gets out of whack, we're like, oh my gosh, man, it's out of whack. What am I going to do? My finances are bad, everything. I got an idea. Here's what we'll do. We'll just add a little Jesus to the will. And if I just add a little Jesus to the will, guess what? It'll all be perfect. It'll all come together. I'll just add Jesus on the will. As long as he doesn't have to be the whole thing in my life, as long as he's just somewhere on the will. My Jesus, right, is an add-on to my already consumed life. And it will help me. Can I just tell you something, church? It doesn't work. Matthew reminds us, right, the very beginning of it. What does it tell us to do? But seek first his kingdom. Well, I've got some friends, right? And my friends, they might not be good for me, but you know, I still need this. You know, I'll change it around. Let's do it like this. I got this entertainment. It might not be good for me, but I really enjoy it. It might take me away from church. It might not be healthy. It might not even be God-honoring, but man, I really like this entertainment thing. It's part of my life. It's who I am. But I can still do all these other things as long as we've got Jesus on the wheel. As long as Jesus is still a part of it, as long as he's still holding, then I can still do what I want to do. I can still have everything because I still got Jesus on the wheel. He's still there with me. He's still hanging out with me. And he becomes, hear me, a thing you're doing instead of everything in your life. Can I just tell you that Jesus this morning is not interested in being a thing that you're doing. He wants to be your whole life. And here's my challenge for you this morning. Why not put Jesus first? Why not put Jesus at the center? Why don't you put first things first? Why not put him at the center of your life? I love what the great writer, theologian C.S. Lewis said. Get this morning. This is powerful, and it's true. He wrote this statement. He says, put first things first. And when you put first things first, we get second things thrown in. So that's what we're doing here. We're putting Jesus first, and everything else gets thrown in. But look what he goes on and writes. He says, but put second things first, and we lose both first and second things. If your life is ever going to make sense, church, you got to learn to say, Jesus, you're the center of everything that I do. You're the focus of everything. And I've said this before so many times at our church, and I still believe it today, and I put it on the screen, but I believe this. When Jesus is at the center, when Jesus is first, everything else falls into place. Everything else just finds a way to fall into place. And I don't know what you're struggling with. Maybe it is your career. Maybe it is your relationships and your marriage. Maybe it is your finances. Maybe it is your health. Maybe it's just simply, I need some direction in my life. I'm just telling you, don't prioritize all these other things first. Put Jesus first. Put Jesus as the supreme. Make him your focus. Seek him first. And let me just say, watch how all the rest of these things in your life will be added to you under God's purpose and will. I'm just saying. I'm going to live a God life that is honoring him, that puts him first. And that's what Paul concludes with. He writes this and he says, for God was pleased to have all this, his faithfulness dwell in him. And look what it says then. And through him to reconcile to himself all things. When Jesus is first, he reconciles everything else to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through whose blood? Through the blood shed on the cross. Hear me this morning. Your career doesn't have the power to sustain you, but the blood of Jesus does. Your marriage doesn't have the power to sustain you, but the blood of Jesus does. Your relationships don't have the power to fulfill you, but the blood of Jesus does. It is through his sacrifice on the cross that he's able to sustain you. It's through that sacrifice on the cross that you realize he is actually my creator and he has set things in motion for me. It is actually his sacrifice on the cross that reminds you that he is supreme over every area of your life. And hear me, what we try to mix all together, God says, no, I don't want to mix it. I'm going to absorb it. I'm going to bring it all under my lordship. I'm going to bring it all under my goodness, all under my grace, so that you and I can be one with each other. And all these things will be added to you every day because God, you are supreme and you sustain me and you create it for me. Would you stand this morning? And I want to take a moment as we close out our service to put our attention back on the one that is supreme over it all. He's the one that is supreme over everything in our lives. And so as I close out today, I wrote this down. I don't normally do this, but I wanted to write this to you as a thought, as a prayer, as a declaration. So I'm just going to read it to you, but I want you to absorb this today, to think about this today. So I wrote this over our church as a reminder for us today. Here it is. I want you to keep your eyes on Jesus, our Supreme King. Jesus, God in flesh, the image of the invisible God, yet born in a dusty stable, not in a palace. He lived a sinless life, perfect in every way. He loved the outcast. healed the broken, spoke truth with so much love, yet they tried to crucify him. But hear this, Jesus wasn't forced to the cross. He chose it. He laid down his life for you and for me, the greatest display of love in all of human history. But hear me, the grave couldn't hold him. And on the third day, he rose and he conquered death, hell, and the grave. Hear me this morning, church. No power could stop our Jesus then, and no power can stop our Jesus now. For 2,000 years, his message has spread despite every attempt to snuff it out. There's been persecution, yet the gospel grew, because Jesus' kingdom will not be destroyed. One philosopher mocked Jesus, saying Christianity would be extinct in a century. That man died in 1778, and his house later became a Bible printing press. Why? Because the kingdom of God will continue to be advanced. Dictators have tried to crush the church, but their regimes crumbled down while Jesus' kingdom still stands. Even musicians have claimed to be bigger than Jesus, but their fame has faded and Jesus is still on the throne and more famous than ever. His name still echoes throughout the globe. Why? Armies fall, empires fade, skeptics die, but hear me, Jesus remains and his kingdom will have no end. So church, let's make our focus on him. Let's buy into today to the supremacy of Jesus, and let's be for him and about him forever and ever. Amen and amen. Come on, let's worship him.
Lord Christ be magnified.
Magnify you today, Jesus. Lord, you are worthy of our praise and our honor. Lord, may you be Lord over our lives. May we put you first in everything, God. May you be the one, God, that all of our attention and focus is put on. When so many things of the world want to distract us and take us away, God, we can say, no, my focus is on you. You are my creator, you are my sustainer, and you are supreme over every area of my life. Lord, protect us when we want to deviate. Protect us when we want to mix this world into all the things that you have for us and all the things that you want to do for us, Lord. And Lord, may you reign supreme, not only here at CLC, but may you reign supreme in our lives, in our homes, in our community, in our families, in our workplaces. God, may you be the focus of everything that we do and say. Because the reality and the fact is, God, that in spite of us, you will still reign over all things. In spite of us, God, you still hold all things together, Lord Jesus. So God, let us revere you today. We make it about you, and we put God at the center. And as we get ready to close out today, if you're here today, I want to do this call for you. Maybe Jesus is not the focus of your life. Maybe he's not the center of it all. And you need to say today, make this declaration, God, I want you to be the center of my life. And maybe it begins by saying, Lord, here's my life. I want to give it to you. Maybe you need to make that statement today. God, I want to give you my life. I need to put you at the center. I need to recognize you as creator and sustainer and supremacy of my life. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, this is between you and God. We're not going to embarrass you in any way. But if you're here today and you say, that's me, I need to make God the focus of my life. I want to pray for you. And I want to ask you to have the courage real quickly to put your hand up, put it back down again. If you're in this room, you say, I need to make God the focus of my life. Who? Anyone in the room today? Thank you. Anyone else? Real quick. This is your opportunity. God, I need to make you the focus of my life. So, Lord, right now we come before you. And, man, so many people in the room raised their hand and said, God, I want to make you the focus of my life. I need you. I need to make you the one God that, with all the other things vying for my attention. And if that's you in this room today, I would say this, all right where you're sitting, just say, Lord, I put you at the center. I put my focus on you. Lord, would you forgive me? Would you come into my life? Would you be my creator, my sustainer, and would you be supreme? I give you all of me so that I can have all of you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, let's give it to the Lord today. I'm going to ask you to be seated for a moment. I know we have a prayer corner over here, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But also, we have a moment. We're going to ask our team if you were to be baptized today. We're going to do baptisms today. What a great day to do baptisms. What a great day to do baptisms. And I want to say this, make this act decoration. We have this prayer corner over here. And even now, if you want to get up, you feel like I just need to go get prayer, no eyes are on you, you can head over to our corner with people that want to pray with you. Maybe there's some things you're walking through, some things you need, you can do that. And we're going to have them there after service too. If you want to go over there and get prayer, you can go afterwards. But let me say this, we're going to take a moment. We have some people that are going to be baptized. We want you to be a part of that. We want you to celebrate that with us. And I'm just in awe today of what we're about to do. And if you're here and you want to be baptized, maybe you've never been baptized or you've committed your life and you're like, I need to get baptized today, but you didn't come prepared. Guess what? We did. We came prepared. We got it all. We even have underwear. We got it all. So, hey, so if you need to, you want to get baptized today, I would encourage you, this back wall back here, there's a guy named Rob Christ back there, and he's right in this corner. And if you're like, I want to get baptized today, I didn't come prepared, but I want to get baptized, we have clothes, we have everything for you. Go find Rob in the back, and he'll direct you to the right place so that you can get baptized today. But we have some people that have signed up to say, I want to get baptized. And so I'm so excited for that today. So I'm going to invite Pastor Rachel to come out and help me. We have, where are you at? Where's she at? I don't know where she's at. Rachel. Okay, so maybe she's still getting ready. We have about, this tells you, this is the most exciting thing, because we have about 6 teenagers that want to get baptized today. And that should encourage you if you call this your church home, because our youth ministry is exploding. And we have students that are coming.
We've got, come on out, Bryce. So this is Bryce. He is one of our youth students. He's been coming for almost a year now, I think. And the funny thing about Bryce, I'll always remember this, was he very vividly had frosted tips when I first met him. I know. I figured I should embarrass him first. And he had this kind of like cool guy attitude with his frosted tips. But let me tell you one thing about Bryce that I've been so impressed with the last few months is just how much he's grown into a young man of the Lord and how much of an influence he's being and has been on all of his friends. And it's so amazing, and it's obviously a testament to the fact that he's even here today getting baptized. And so, Bryce, I'm going to have you share a little bit. Why are you choosing to get baptized today?
I just want to give my life to Jesus.
Yeah, that's so awesome. That's so cool. So here's what we're going to do, Bryce. Is it cold? Kind of. It's not that bad. All right, I'm going to have you take this hand and put it on your nose, and then this hand on your wrist. Okay. And we're just going to pray. So, Lord, we just pray over Bryce, God. We thank you for this young man that he's become and the young man that you're planning for him to become, Lord. God, I just pray that you would continue to use him as an influence for you, an influence to other young men, to show them that living for you really is everything. And so we just pray the plans on his life that you have for him and many blessings. In Jesus' name. So Bryce, on the confession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Next, we have Juliana. Yep. Come on out. So, Juliana is another youth student of ours. She's been coming for a few months now. You can get in. It's really not that cold. It's not that bad, I promise. You can sit right there. Sit crisscross applesauce. There you go. The cool thing about Juliana is she is a product of something we like to call the invite. And she was invited to youth by a friend. And now she's here just taking this next step to the Lord. And actually, the cool thing about Juliana is she wasn't even planning to get baptized until, about an hour or two ago. She said, "Is it too late? Do I have to sign up? Do I have to wait?" I said, "Absolutely not. Come and get baptized." And so I think that's so awesome. And so, Juliana, I'm just going to ask you, why are you getting baptized today?
I want to get more involved with Jesus and take my life to another step and see what he has planned for me in the future.
That's so awesome. That's so cool. And so I'm going to have you scoot up even more. There you go, right to the top. We don't want to hit your head. Good job. All right, even more, a little bit. There we go. Good job. So Juliana, we're going to pray. Lord, we just pray right now over Juliana, Lord. We know that you have incredible plans for her life, Lord, and that you are just getting started with this walk, Lord. We know that she's only going to grow stronger and deeper in this relationship with you. So God, we just pray that your hand would be on her and that you would continue to guide her in your ways. In Jesus' name. So Juliana, in the confession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Next, we have Caitlin. Caitlin, come on in. Yeah, you're brave. There you go. Scoot all the way up to the front. There we go. So the cool thing about Caitlin is she's the one that invited Juliana to church, yeah? And Caitlin's been coming for a whole year now. And when I first met Caitlin, she just had this lovable, laughable energy, and she still does, and I love that. I love seeing Caitlin, and she always comes in. She's like, "Is there something I can do today?" And I'm like, "Not today, but next week," right? She just has this servant's heart, and I love that about Caitlin. And so, Caitlin, why are you choosing to get baptized today?
I can take the next step to be closer to God.
That's so cool. That's awesome. I love that. All right, well, I'm going to have you hold your nose like that, and then I'm going to pray over you. Lord, we just pray right now over Caitlin. God, I just thank you for who she is, and I thank you for just all that she's done for you, Lord. God, I pray that you would continue to use her just to be an influence to all of her friends and to her community, to her family, Lord. God, that you would use her to speak your words, Father. We know that you are going to use her for your plans, Lord. So So, Caitlin, on the confession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Who's next?
All right. Next, we've got Jaden. This is Jaden.
Okay.
She wants to hold that. Yeah, come all the way up here for now. We'll take that from you. So, Jaden, the cool thing about Jaden is your mom here? Yeah. Where's mom? There's mom. So, the cool thing about Jaden is when I first met her, the very first thing she told me was, well, my mom went to youth group here when she was a youth student. And I said, what? That's crazy. And she's like, yeah. And now I'm coming to youth group here. And I just think that's such a cool legacy to have, that her mom influenced her so much that now she's here as a youth student getting to grow closer to Jesus. And now she's here today even to get baptized. So, Jaden, why are you choosing today to get baptized?
I'm getting baptized because I want to put all my faith in Jesus, and I want to sacrifice my life to Jesus and feel his presence in my life. I'm ready to give my all to Jesus.
Come
That's
on.
That's awesome. I love that. Here we go. So I'm going to have you take one hand on your nose. Yeah, you might want to stick
crisscross applesauce. There you go.
Scoot up a little. There you go. And then the other hand on your wrist right here. All right, Lord, we just pray over Jaden, God. We thank you for who she is and the heart that she has for you, Father. Lord, we just pray right now that as she's growing and learning more about you, Lord, that she would stand firm in you, stand firm in your words and in your faith, Lord. God, that you would use her and that you would continue to grow her in the plans that you have for her life, Lord. In Jesus' name. So, Jaden, on the confession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, so cool. Up next, we have Isla.
Let me just tell you this story about Isla and her family. Her dad's here. They attend our church, and he came to me today, and he goes, I'm just so thankful for our church. They were looking for a church, and he's like, we wouldn't have found this church, but Rob Christ, who's one of our board members, invited them because they were looking to buy a dog from Rob Christ. All right? So I would encourage all of you to get into the dog business. And then you can invite people to church. But I only tell you that to say she's here, her dad's here, her brother's here, because of the power of an invite. All it takes is one little invitation to change someone's life, and she's sitting here as an example of that. Amen? So.
Yeah, and Isla is one of my awesome student leaders, actually. And the cool thing about Isla is, you know, at first when she came in, she was really quiet and really reserved. But, you know, I'm a testament to this too, you know, tiny but mighty, right? And there is a fire within Isla for Jesus, and it cannot be contained. And it is proven in how she has just witnessed to so many people within her school, within her friends, and her family. So, Isla, why are you getting baptized today?
I want to get baptized today because I've seen how God has been working in my life lately, and I want to take the next step to get even closer with him. I'm ready to start fresh and follow God and show my faith and decision to live for Jesus.
Come
Heck
on.
Yeah, come on, that's awesome. So I'm going to have you sit crisscross applesauce. There you go. Good job. All right. So, Lord, we just thank you for Isla, Lord. We thank you for her heart for you, Father. Lord, you see her, you see who she is, and you know exactly what you have planned for her, Lord. So I pray that you would help her grow and walk in you and grow in boldness for you, Lord, that she would not be afraid to speak more about you, but that she would walk out in boldness talking about you to every single person that she knows. In Jesus' name. So, Isla, on the confession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, come on.
Okay, this is Sadie.
I call Sadie's Five Guys, all right? So
She's got lots of nicknames.
If you need joy in your life, hang around Sadie for like 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. It's like, I feel like she's just always like, anyway, she's awesome.
Yeah, we actually had with student leaders, Sadie's another student leader, and we had them over our house just to bless them. And if you don't know, I have a dog who is kind of crazy that nobody can tame. Sadie tamed her. She was so burnt out by the end of the night from Sadie's excitement and energy, but that truthfully is a testament to who Sadie is. She has this infectious energy. I mean, you can't help but smile around Sadie.
That's right.
And I love that about her. So Sadie, why are you getting baptized today?
I'm ready to fully give my life to Jesus and surrender it all to him.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So Lord, right now we just pray over Sadie, God. We just pray that you would continue to work in her life, continue to work on the plans that you have for her, Father, that she would grow bigger and stronger in who you are, Lord. God, that she would only go from this moment excited to hear more about you, excited to speak about you, Lord, that she would continue to walk in your ways. In Jesus' name. So Sadie, on the confession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Michael, and Michael, I think I heard you came in today and you just said, I really want to get baptized today. Is that right? That's so cool. That's so awesome. Well, if you don't mind, would you share why today? Why are you getting baptized today?
I just want to put all into Jesus, and that's basically it.
Ah, that's awesome. Put it all to Jesus. That's what we do here, right? So Michael, go ahead and scoot on up to the front. Pray for that you continue to strengthen him, continue to strengthen this boldness that he has for you, Lord, that he would continue to be all in for you and only you, Jesus, in Jesus' name. So Michael, on the confession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Before you sit down, I know who you are. You tell everybody else. They tell them who you are.
My name is Travis, and recently, a young man in the front row, his name is Carson. He renewed my my faith in humanity. And right now, I just want you to know, man, that I'm washing away the old me. I'm cleansing my heart, mind, and strength to be the mentor you need me to be. I'm no longer a Latter-day Saint. I'm a good Christian man, and I hope the steps that I take only show you that there is the light, the love, and the grace of our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
That's all you need to focus on. Not your surroundings, not your environment, not even me. Your faith, your heart, your mind, and your strength, and your glory for God.
Amen. Amen. I'll have you have a seat, Travis. Sit like we call it crisscross applesauce. It's my friend Travis. I've got to meet him and see him from time to time. He's a very infectious personality, and so... Man, I'm so glad that you've chosen to do this today, and it's my privilege to baptize you. So I'm going to have you move a little closer over here, Travis, so I don't throw you off. All right. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we pray right now for Travis and lift him up to you, Jesus. And thank you for the declaration that he's made to say, I'm going to follow you. I'm no longer that person. And that's what baptism is all about. It's about the new you and the new person in Jesus Christ. And I pray that over his life, over his future marriage, God, that you would be the center of everything. That's our prayer for today. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, yeah, I'm going to put that there. This here. Now, Travis, on the confession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah, come on. Whoa. What's up, man? How you doing? tell me your name.
Skyler.
Just getting to know you. Yeah. Come on, man. Welcome. I'm glad you're here today.
Thank you.
Do you feel comfortable telling us why?
I am going to be a new father at the end of this month, and I think it's a really good way to guide my family.
Amen. Come on. Well, Skyler, right? Come on up here, Skyler. We do this thing called crisscross applesauce. Remember that when you were in little school? Yeah. Man, what an awesome thing to get to know you. So glad you're making this statement today. He's a walk-in, by the way. Right?
Yep.
Love it. Well, man, let me pray over you. Lord, I pray over Skyler right now. First of all, I just pray, God, that you would be the center of his family, the center of his new family that's to come, that, God, you would ordain his steps, that you go before him, behind him, and with him. May he know, God, that you're for him and you're not against him, that he can put all of his hope and his trust in you, Jesus. And may today be a marked difference in how he lives his life, how he treats his kid to come, how he treats others around him. God, may you be the center of everything. And so, Lord, we come before you today and pray your blessing upon this moment in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to have you take this hand, put it over your nose. This hand, put it right there. There we go. That way. And so, Skyler, on the confession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Come on. Yeah, man. Okay. And last but not least, right? Come on. Here, let me give you your hand. It's cold.
Okay,
that baby. That baby's gonna be like, what? Have a seat. I need that microphone. So tell us your name.
Ryan.
Yes. And you're with him.
Yes, that's my husband.
That's your husband.
Yes.
Come on. And you guys are expecting. What'd you say?
Yeah.
The end of this month. Wow. Now just after this.
Yeah.
Not during this. You know, I know the tub thing and all that's cool, but all right. Well, could you mind telling us why you're doing this?
Well, ever since I was a little girl, I've always wanted to be baptized. But unfortunately, my family's kind of had some bad experiences in the past with church, and I was never given the opportunity to do it. And, you know, growing in my faith with my husband over the past, you know, couple years, we finally decided to come back to church. And when I found out that you guys were doing baptizing, I really wanted to do it. So.
Man, come on. I love it. Hey, come on. Man, let's just thank you for being here. God's got good things, good plans for your family. Amen. Lord, I just want to pray for Riley and Lord. I lift her up to you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that she's making this statement today in front of these groups of people that we all get to witness this decision that she's making. I pray your Holy Spirit would rest upon their home, that, God, you would bless them, that you'd watch over them and protect them. For this young child, Lord, that he or she would grow to know you, to serve you, that mom and dad would make you a priority in every area of their life, and it starts here today. And so, Holy Spirit, as we do this baptism, I pray that it would be a marked change in her life. And God, the plans and the purpose you have for her are just the beginning. And so, God, guide them, protect them, and lead them in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Come on, this is awesome. So, Riley, in the confession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Come on. Amen. You all right? I got you. Help you out. Amen. I think that's it. Would you stand with me? Pastor Samuel's going to lead us one quick chorus of this. Let's sing it together. I pray blessings upon your people today. May your face shine upon us. May you go before us again. May you go behind us. May you be all around us. That God, you are the center of everything. And we make that our declaration today, that God, you would be the center of it all. So Lord, I pray again that you would watch over us and protect us, keep us. Lord, may you be the focus of our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to remind you before you head out, amen. Come on, you can give it to the Lord. Amen. I want to remind you today before you head out. We have prayer people. If you still need prayer, go find somebody real quick. A lot of things happen on. If you're new, we'd love to meet you after service. Other than that, God bless you. Invite someone to church next week. It's going to be amazing. Amen.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.